having butterflies or feeling feeling like that weird sort of nervous energy in your stomach.
Right.
Yeah. They say butterflies in your stomach because like you feel like that unease in your chest, but it's not a negative thing. It's like you are so impressed with somebody like on first impression that like you feel this way about them. You feel strongly first time you meet
them. It's just kind of like what you said about the visual appearance, the visual signals, mm-hmm. that sometimes it's not really about how good looking you are, but it's about maybe it shows your muscle, shows you're strong, so mm-hmm. you can protect that person. It's just, it's a myth, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a brain science, there's cognitive science, there's like historical reasons.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying, that I guess I almost forgot that our show is about cross-cultural because it's really linked together.
Well, the thing about cross-cultural everything is that for everything, there's always going to be some base level of similarity, right? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Indian, Canadian, American, European, you're all human.
And yes.
regardless of where you grew up or where your genetic lineage comes from or whatever metric you want to measure it by, we're all human and there's always going to be underlying connecting factors.
Right.
So you can be as different as you want,
yeah.
but there's always going to be something that matches you.
Exactly. So I feel like human beings are the same, but the environment shaped who we are, right?
Exactly.
So environment, education, but mm-hmm. education also come as part of the environment, the family education, the school education. And that's why I always say growth mindset, guys, right? Or mm-hmm. girls, right? So it really matters. But then, yeah, we were talking about the visual thing, but sometimes I think people go very extreme. It's like the world is black or white, mm-hmm. where it probably is how our brain works. It's that, oh, the appearance matters, so I just go all about it. But then you're overly packaging yourself, and then eventually you match someone. Maybe you're not trying to oversell yourself, but then eventually you match with someone who only attracted by those things, which is also no good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but then some people will be like, okay, yes, then I don't do that. I don't... dress up, makeup, at all, right? Because I want to be true. I want to be authentic, absolutely.
That's me.
Oh, that's you?
100%.
You don't look like that. you look like you're already
packaging
yourself.
This is minimal effort. I went to my closet this morning,
okay.
and I grabbed a shirt, I grabbed some pants,
right.
and then I thought, you know, this would look good with this.
Right.
I did nothing to my hair, but I did shower and I did brush my teeth.
I guess that's already can't. Or are you just trying to pass the message that you are... you have potential for a fashion icon or something like that.
not at all.
But, you know, that reminds me of something that I watched lately on the Chinese platform, mm-hmm. a social media platform, where, you know, they had this kind of, I'm not so sure if I should call it conflict, but there's always, you know, it's also not a war, but some group of females and some group of male, they would have... kind of extreme opinions towards to each other. So, you know, some kind of extreme feminism. But I don't want to call that because there's a different kind of definition towards to feminism or, I don't know, chauvinism.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure what it is, right? Like, we don't want to talk about it too deep. But what I'm trying to say is that, and there was a guy, and he said, hey guys, like he was talking to other males. He's like, hey guys, maybe we should... stop blaming girls for what's not going very smoothly about our dating lives, right? Because some of the guys could complain that, oh, because of this extreme feminism or because of some girls, they were asking for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're asking too much and makes me or people like us have a hard time finding our partners or dating partners, right? Or girlfriends or whoever. And that person who filmed this video, he's like, hey guys, maybe we should stop blaming girls because who actually compete with you are other guys. So you should probably just, work on your appearance a little bit.
That's good. That technically, that is a correct argument if you look at it just simply.
Right.
And first of all, I'm going to say, he's right. Do not blame someone who is not involved in your competition on the competition. But the real sort of thing that you want to consider is if you're competing for people who want the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lifestyle, is that really somebody that you want to be with?
No, but what I'm trying to say is that there's some tension between the males and females, because both parties, I'm not talking about everyone, yeah. right? There's always like some people, like you cannot say Chinese are like that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's always the most extreme that you see the most of, because they say the most.
Yes, but then let's say there's a tension between a female and male group, at least on the internet, and then both parties feel unfair. Everything is unfair to me. Like, I go there, I always actually talk to people. The males always think, oh, in Vancouver or in New York, there's always like two less girls and too many males. But if you ask a girl, they will tell you the same answer, but the opposite way.
Yeah, there's like, oh, there's not enough guys, there's too many girls all over the place.
Yeah,
yeah. And at that point, it's a problem of framing, because it's always about who you want, but never, would this person want me?
Yeah.
You're always thinking, I need to find this. I want someone who does this, who makes this much, who has this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's never, if I want someone who has all this,
do
they want me?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, less time we will become reflective when we think about dating. We think about, like, if we wanted to find someone. But anyways, I was thinking about the guy who was filming the videos, and he mentioned about this, because used to be the males, the boys, the guys in China are taking all the pressures and the responsibilities to raise a family, right? To support a family. All the financial pressures and the responsibilities goes to them. So if, you know, a female, a girl wanted to survive, they also look for this way. So this is not really their fault.
Yeah.
Like girls' fault, because this is how historically happened, right? But now, because the females have more choices and options to contribute to the society, work and get rewarded financially, so it become more challenging for people, for males, for guys who only support and provide survival value, right? And now, because more people are competing in the market, so you're not just competing with other guys in the work market, in the job market, you're also competing with whoever is in the market, right? And it's also more globalized. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So you're competing with all the people. Like, if you're doing social media, you're literally competing with people who are doing social media online all over the world.
Yeah.
So it become more challenging. So this guy is saying, hey, stop thinking about you can only provide the survival values, because a lot of girls now, they can make a living themselves. So they have a higher standard towards you. Other things which you can work on. You, of course, there are so many guys that are really cares about their hygiene and everything like that, right? But a lot of people, especially maybe from older generation, they said they don't take a shower, they smells, they don't wash their hairs.
The uncles.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know who, I did not say that, guys, but then he said that, yeah.
We all know. Everybody in the audience right now,
right?
You close your eyes, and When you hear Charlotte say they don't shower, they don't brush their teeth, they don't clean their hair, you close your eyes and you think of that one uncle. Everybody has one.
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah.
I have like two.
Right. Wait, don't reinforce the stereotype about Indians to Chinese artists. But like, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? They're saying that because of those males. They're so focusing on what's been working. And now they feel like They ask too much, and I can't match the standard in terms of the financial support they ask for. But thinking about, there's another way around, because you probably don't need to take all the financial pressure. You can go a different way.
Yeah.
If there's so many, if there are 10 guys, don't take a
shower. The thing you have to consider is, like, it's also about the needs and also, like, what options you have.
Mm.
So, for example, if you meet someone and you don't fit their criteria for whatever reason, what choices do you have? You can't force them. That's illegal, immoral, and that would not lead to a good relationship.
Right.
You can try to raise yourself to their standards, or you can look for somebody else. You can adjust your own standards.
Mm.
So it's there is always something that can be done. You just need to look inward and think what actually is the option.
Right. Exactly.
Like you said, there's some people who could improve their hygiene or could do other things like learn alternate skills and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you can kind of think of it as a marketing issue. Right?
Oh yeah, actually it is.
And so
you can go packaging yourself, buy this packaging business.
I was gonna say don't package yourself.
Oh no.
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 Because again, then you're just lying.
Right.
Like for example, let's say you find someone who has a very expensive taste. They require high finances. They spend a lot of money. And you use one of these services. You don't make a lot of money, but you want to project that wealth. They match you. You guys get married.
Yeah.
They have an expectation that you're not able to meet.
Mm.
Right? That's not going to end well. Like, how would that end?
Yeah.
Probably divorce.
Yeah. Or, you know, used to be maybe like one person is really rich and another person is really pretty. And then they match because they have these complementary needs are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, because you have more choices, it's supposed to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, oh, I don't have to carry that heavy of financial burden or responsibilities, that let's just say. But then I also can look better. It's not like you have to go to this packaging business to that level, right? But then that's what I'm saying. It's not about black or white. It's really about, oh, maybe I could just improve a little bit. And actually, you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You benefit from it. And another side is that they also feel, you know, when the person can carry the social responsibilities by contributing the work, and their cognitive level would get upgraded, and then they will be more mature, and then they can help and be just better in all different kind of all aspects in life. So I think that's really important, and eventually the life experiences together that you guys share will be a lot better.
Yeah. And the thing about that is everything is a spectrum. You say, it's not supposed to be black or white, but black and white do exist because those are just the far ends. And so you always have to just find someone in the middle. You have to find someone who will meet you where you are, or you need to go and meet someone where they are. Because like we said, with like the life coaches and the dating coaches and everything, if you build yourself up to be someone you're not, then either you are lying or you're undergoing like a full catastrophic change of who you are, and you're no longer that same person.
But I think it's maybe a shortcut mindset, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. And the thing is, I don't know what the actual idiom is, but they say that like nothing worth doing is ever easy. If it's something that is worthwhile, if it does provide some kind of value, then it's always going to be difficult. Another thing that I've seen online is that there's no such thing as easy or hard. There's just new and what you're used to.
I love that. Did you figure that out, or
I saw it online somewhere. And the thing is, like, I disagree with that a little bit.
Why?
But then when you think about it, there is merit to the argument, because it's never that something is always just difficult. It's just how much exposure you've had to it, right? And so, for example, my background is in health sciences, so I've covered all sorts of topics like biology, immunology, virology, that kind of stuff, right? And so that plus my background in research, I have like a pretty decent understanding. So when I hear stuff about like, you know, the coronavirus or like how there's that new hantavirus outbreak on that cruise ship, right? Like I hear about that and like I have an implicit understanding because of my experience. One of my friends texted me a little while ago about this hantavirus outbreak on the ship. And he's like losing his mind. He's going crazy because his background is not in biology. And so he doesn't know like how bad this could be or whatever. So it's like my experience has made that easier for me. So I do agree that like there is a level of familiarity that you need, and things stop being hard. For example, you spend your time doing the show. When you first started, it was probably felt kind of scary, kind of difficult, like starting things up. But now that you do it, like you can ease into your controls. You have your chat and your video ready and everything's going perfectly fine. Exactly.
Yeah, I literally just like make stupid jokes here. I feel comfortable about that.
Exactly. But that took time, and it took experience.
There's a foundational skills that's required before you can be creative, before you can be so spontaneous, right? Mm-hmm. I also explore a lot, and also we talk. We know each other already. Mm-hmm. So I feel, I don't have to be fully focused on dig deep about your stories. I can just literally joke, and I know
we started by talking about my car. Because
I felt like I wanted to try this actually today. I mentioned about this. I was like, hey, because my real personality is pretty chill. I mean, like, I can be chill, but then I'm on chill when it's towards some kind of work ethic. But most of the time, I think I joke around. Mm-hmm. I like funny things. In Chinese, called 抽象 means kind of. It's just not. It's really hard to translate this word. I will check it out. But then, every time when I sit here, I feel like I'm hosting this national news, where like talking about politics or something. Because it's just like, you know, automatically becomes so serious.
And the thing is, like, when there's like a mental sort of separation that people keep between like levels of like media and understanding, where it's like, oh, you do a radio show, you do a podcast, that means you are some kind of expert or some sort of authority. And it's like, not everything needs to be guarded like this. Not everything requires a level of expertise.
Mm.
Because if you keep the idea in your mind that only some people can do certain things, then that prevents you from ever getting any kind of understanding about it.
Mm.
And so you need to know that, like, the gates are always open. You can learn anything anytime, especially with how open and available information is on the internet, that, like, nothing is really off limits anymore.
Yeah.
In terms of learning, like, for example, you mentioned you did law school, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that sounds absolutely terrifying, because
is terrifying. It is still, I quit it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm no longer a lawyer, but like, whatever.
But the only thing I know about law school is like, you know, the late nights, the massive caseload, and the bar exam. That's all I really know about law school.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure if I whipped out my phone right now and just typed in like, you know, law school experiences, I would find testimonials from people who have gone through law school and dropped out, have gone through law school and graduated, people who have never gone to law school but have challenged the bar exam. I'm sure I can find all sorts of experiences, and that will give me a much better image about this. And so it's always about gathering the information, whether it be marketing yourself because you're a lawyer, or whether it be putting yourself on the dating market. It's always about knowing what is there, doing your research, and then just sort of acting on it.
Yeah, it actually reminds me, there's two ways to you can figure it out or learn from doing something. Like, for example, like, I graduated from law school, by the way, but then I figured out that it's not for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that I'm still doing something that related to that experience, right? I went some human-related field come after law, which is negotiation, right? And then I do technology and AI leverage with that. So the dots connected when I look back.
Yeah.
But that's one thing, to figure out what's for you and what's not for you. Like reading books and remembering all these things and take the bar test is not for me. I want interaction. However, there's a different way after doing something, is that what you said. You feel already familiar with this, so the original fear towards to uncertainty, the fear towards to the learning curve are gone. And then you started to realize that I enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can start to enjoy from this moment, because like I said, the learning curve is scary, it's deep, but then now I have the foundational skill to do this, so I can meandering.
Yeah.
Conceptually in my mind and be creative. So that is the second path that we can figure
and
out.
Actually, right? I kind of have an example of that. Not very extreme, but I do have an example of like unfamiliarity and experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an Android guy. I have a Samsung in my pocket right now.
Okay.
My laptop is a Lenovo. I use Windows and Linux.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was closing down her credit card account, and she has Air Miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so she spent her Air Miles and she got me an iPad. So now I have a fancy new iPad.
You're forced to use Apple stuff.
I've never used an iPad in my life.
I feel so bad for you.
And so, like I said, it's not a very serious example. But the thing is, like, it's not that it's difficult, but I am very unfamiliar with it. Mm. Like, I'm used to the note-taking system on my laptop. I'm used to pen and paper. I'm used to having my laptop open, doing my work there, and then having something on the side, like my notebook. Mm. And so I am seeing, like, videos online of people saying, like, oh, you know, you can multi-screen on your iPad, so you can have your course lecture open, you can have a notepad open, you can take notes while watching your lecture all on one device. I'm like, that sounds really cool. I think I would like that. But now I need to figure out how this works. Mm. And so everything that I already know is there, but it's in places that I have not experienced or places that I would not think to look. Mm. There's so many small features that, like, kind of are taking me time to get used to, and it is a little uncomfortable. To a certain extent, I don't like using it because it's just, from
because
my experience,
it's weird.
Because
you're not in the ecosystem.
Exactly. The last time I had an Apple product was 17 years ago, when I had, I think it was a first generation iPod Touch.
Right.
The very first one, the fat one.
Right.
And I had a rubber case for it, and then I broke it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like.
And that was the last time I ever had one. And so I've gone all this time only ever using, like, Samsung and Windows and Linux. And I understand, like, I have a healthy respect for Apple and their ecosystem. Like, I know that the way their laptops and stuff are built is it's very good for professional work, for, like, specialized software. But, like, I've never had to use any of that. I've never had a need to use it. And so now with an iPad, it's like, it does what I need it to do, I think. And so I have to, I actually just have to sit down and use it, is the thing. And so I'm a little uncomfortable because I feel like with my old system, I know how to do it. I know how to get to work right away. I know how to get things done without any hesitation. Mm. But with my iPad, it's like, I have been told by people that I trust that this device can do things faster and better than how I'm doing it right now.
Right.
But I need to learn first. And so I feel like I'm wasting time, which makes me a little uncomfortable. But another good way to think about it is it's an investment. If I'm learning those skills now, it'll make it easier in the long run. I will save time.
I don't know about it, though, because if you're not in the ecosystem, you don't find it, like, make your life a lot easier.
Well, I've been told that there are some ways to bridge that gap, which is another reason I've been so concerned. Like, for example, like, with AirDrop, there are apps that let you AirDrop between Apple and Android. A lot of the apps that I use can export by a file type rather than exporting to another Apple device.
Right.
So, like, for example, my note-taking app will export to PDF, and then I can download those PDFs and edit them on my laptop.
Okay.
It might take a couple extra steps, and I might have to learn things that other people don't commonly share because, again, a lot of people who have one Apple device have many Apple devices.
Right.
And so maybe I'm going to have to learn things that other people don't have to deal with, but it's just something I'm going to have to do. And so it is a little uncomfortable.
I have a big, bold guess, which I think Apple is going down. Or maybe everybody knows that. I don't know.
Don't you think so? It depends on how you look at it. With my current view on the tech space, Apple is sort of, I don't want to say they're losing dominance, but they're making strategic plays right now. The big thing that I'm seeing is specifically in the world of PCs and computers.
Right.
Windows.
Right.
Microsoft, or as people like to call them, Microslop. Because with Windows, the newer versions are pushing so much AI and so many advertisements, and they refuse to let you customize your own stuff.
Yeah.
They try to force you back to default settings all the time, because that way they can track you and then sell you ads and, like, make money off of you. So many people are kind of switching away from Windows. And then on top of that, Windows, Microsoft, American company, there are security risks about Microsoft as an American company and how they interact with the United States government versus how they interact with other governments.
Mm.
And so other governments have started doing serious inquiries, specifically in, like, the European Union, where they're seriously looking into alternatives to Windows and Microsoft Office products because it could actually pose a security risk if the software they use is easily accessible by a foreign nation. Like, for example, Microsoft Office Suite, Word, Excel, Outlook, all that comes bundled, prepackaged, and you can like generate groups that can all access the same drives and all that. It's very convenient. And so people use it all over the world. But let's say you're a small national government in like Spain or something, right? The United States government can put out like legal requests to Microsoft for information they have. And it might not be the government's information, but that information is still there. There is a non-zero chance that the United States government, through Microsoft, could get the information of other world governments. Is that something to be considered seriously? Very much so. Is it an actual risk? Probably not. But that's not a risk people are willing to take anymore. And so while Apple may be kind of going down on some of their products, which, again, I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of experience with Apple products. I know that the Apple and iOS like ecosystem has been increasing. There have been like serious upgrades to things like their chips and their hardware that make them more competitive in markets like gaming and stuff. So they're actually gaining computer, desktop, PC market share. And
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a whole nother topic then. I don't have deep knowledge towards that, but I just want to say Apple's going down doesn't mean Microsoft is going up.
Oh no,
absolutely going down first.
There's a big joke in like the programming community that like this is the year of the Linux desktop. This is the year that everybody is going to switch from Apple and from Windows, and they're just going to go Linux. And that never happens. That's never happened because Linux, there's too much diversity around it that people don't know where to start and they feel uncomfortable. Whereas Windows, you just kind of know. But it may not be the year of the Linux desktop, but as so aptly put by certain YouTubers, they will always say this is the year of Microsoft's humiliation because people are coming out and they're making these big complaints and they're making these statements. So Apple not doing too bad. Linux, all the distros are going way up. Microsoft kind of going downhill.
I mean, sometimes it's new things and then pop up and then kill everyone. It's like social media, right? Like, but anyways, it was really fun talking to you today. I feel like it's never towards to the end where we out of the topic. So it's just always fun. And we will definitely talk more. And thank you so much for tuning in. We will talk to you next Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me and see you guys next time.
See ya.